Good morning. If you were to look at page 19 in your program, you'll see that we devoted an hour and a half, an entire symposium to foliar disease management with fungicides yesterday. And you also note that I'm the second to last talk in the session for plant pathology and nematology. Now, if you are my cohorts in extension from Georgia, it's further evidence that I've been a second team player relegated to the back leagues. But I would argue that you can also interpret this that, as Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. It's not the second team, it's batting cleanup. Because if you attended the session yesterday, we had the research came out that summarized 48 trials or so and said there was no statistical difference in yield when you used fungicides on cotton. You had an industry representative who said, looking at multiple trials, you come out with a 65 pound per acre lint increase on cotton. My job as an extension specialist and my cohort's jobs here is to make recommendations to growers in Georgia. And what I'd like to do now and recognize their efforts as well as talk about how we marry those two facts, the 65 pound per acre lint yield increase, the no statistical difference, how we use that to make recommendations. I'm going to talk about the data from Georgia, and hopefully this will be of some use. We talked very well yesterday about foliar diseases of cotton. They're typically considered incidental. One important thing about foliar diseases of cotton is it's not well documented what the yield drag to foliar diseases is, with the exception of ones like Stemphylium or Alternaria that are tied to nutrient deficiencies. We have wet weather blight or Ascochyta blight. We have areolate mildew, you can see here. We have boll rots, which certainly do affect yield. We've got Cercospora, Stemphylium, Alternaria. All play a role. All are not uncommon, but are incidental. The question is, not can fungicides help to control them, but do they really matter? In Georgia, contrary to what the consultant said yesterday, he suggested that the foliar disease is the biggest problem in the southeastern part of the state. If you look at where we get the most complaints, the most angst from growers and consultants, it's actually in the southwest corner of the state. This is probably due to moisture coming in off the Gulf. But the greatest proportion of counties in the state where we have complaints is this part, but we also have foliar diseases wherever we grow cotton. This comment comes from one of our cooperators who spoke yesterday in his frustration with university trials at looking at foliar disease work in cotton. Because we talk about defoliation, we talk about yield, Henry, but we don't talk about it a whole lot more. We can't make heads or tails from what's really happened because you don't usually report what the pathogen is. Identification of rots and hardlocks is not that difficult. The problem with leaf spots, at least when we look at it, is that leaf spots look like leaf spots, and a lot of times are sporulating poorly. And when you have multiple pathogens, as Kathy McLean said, multiple pathogens on the same leaf, and as these spots coalesce, it's sometimes tough to distinguish what's actually there. The problem is a lot of times we're not sure what the main pathogen is, which is different than a lot of other crops. We have three fungicides that are labeled in the southeast for use on cotton. We have Thompson M, which has got a Section 18 label in Florida, and we have Section 3 labels on Headline, a supplemental label on Quadris. Typically used for hardlock, Thompson usually goes out 16 ounces. At the current 16-ounce rate with current prices, about that much per acre. At 50 cent a pound cotton, that's about how much lint you'd have to make to pay for just the product and one application. You can see at the 6-ounce rate of pyraclostrobin or Headline, it's about 28 pounds. With Quadra 6 to 9, it's about 30 to 44 pounds of lint, depending upon your rate. And that's one difference from yesterday, is when I make recommendations, when my cohorts make recommendations, we have to take the economics into it. I'm going to start off with one of the best trials I've ever had as far as dramatic differences. We had two applications of pyraclostrobin or azoxystrobin, metconazole, or thiophanate methyl. It began 2 weeks after first bloom, and a second application 14 days later. Area received a lot of rain. Here you can see the untreated check. Here you can see two applications of Headline. The fungicides actually did very well in controlling the areolate mildew and the Ascochyta wet weather blight. Extremely dramatic. Here's a photograph from the interior of the canopy where we didn't treat. This is towards the end of the season. This is where we treated with two applications of Headline. Absolutely no doubt that we were able to control disease. But the question is, does it matter? Does controlling foliar disease in cotton really matter to my growers? Here's the data from that, percent defoliation. This is the untreated. You saw this same data yesterday. The strobilurin chemistries strongly kept those leaves on. Thiophanate methyl to a lesser degree. If you look at the leaves that were left, the leaf spotting not only controlled defoliation, but it controlled the leaf spotting as well. A perfect trial, one of the best I've ever done. until you look at the yield. Okay? Now, as a statistician, when we heard yesterday talking with Jason about the disease or about the yields, there is no statistical difference. But a grower is going to look at this as being 48 pounds of lint. A grower is going to look at this as being 86 pounds of lint. We tell him it's not statistic. He says, I take a lot of risk. What does that mean? So at this point, we'll talk about it a little bit. But to a grower looking at this, it's not a clear-cut issue of not being important. A grower says, you can't show it to 95% confidence interval, but it may have some merit. What we showed in that Appling County trial was strobilurins did well. They were better than the other chemistries. And we were still getting activity at least 5 weeks after the final application. Question is defoliation a helpful thing or a harmful thing? Less defoliant needs to go out, less boll rot. What do those leaves contribute to the leaves or to the bowls? And also the numeric lint yield, what did that mean? Okay, let's talk about the rest of the story, other trials. That's the most dramatic trial I've ever had with cotton. Let's talk about the rest of them. Randomized complete block, y'all can read this. The trials went out first bloom plus 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks after that or 2 weeks. 2 weeks timing is variable in these tests. We're still trying to figure that out. We looked at yield, defoliation, disease severity. Disease severity in assessing foliar disease on cotton is still something we're trying to work out as well. How do you do it best? This is from Tifton in 2004. This is leaf spot on a 1 to 10 scale, kind of borrowing from the peanut scale. Here you can see where we didn't. These are the checks, untreated or just Penti alone. Not a statistical difference, but when you looked at the amount of disease, use of these fungicides, this is 3 applications. Here you would have 2 applications, but a number of different fungicide applications. Blue would be headline combinations. Yellow is quadris. All I want you to focus on is, at least numerically, we did see a trend towards less disease. And even more importantly, when you look at those same treatments, here's the untreated, either untreated entirely or with the Pentia, and here's applications of quadris and headline at various rates, various timings. We got statistically reduction in defoliation. But when we look at yield, okay, we did see, and you remember then the grower talk, or when the representative talked yesterday, talk about 65 pound per lint increase. We did see in most fungicide applications, and this is seed cotton, we did see an increase in seed cotton. The only one that's statistically significant is this one. The headline is 6 ounces 3 times versus the check. So there's no doubt that we are seeing a yield increase, though not statistically. Fungicide application in 2005, this is percent defoliation. This is Adipulcus in the extreme southwest corner of the state. Again, if you look at the headline treatments, the toxin treatments, and the quadris treatments here with the toxin is statistically different from either check. As far as defoliation, the pyraclostrobin is statistically different from the picks alone. So again, we are seeing a significant reduction in defoliation. Is that important or not? When we look at yields, again, for to be the 5%, we need to make 186 pounds of lint. None of these were statistically significant, but if you wanted to look from a grower's perspective, we are seeing a bump in increase. Summarizing across trials, just to cut to the chase, when we look at defoliation 2004 and 2005, taking out some of the better treatments, there's no doubt that with the pyraclostrobin and the azoxystrobin, we're seeing a significant reduction in defoliation. Is that based upon disease control, or does it have an effect from the plant health benefits, the reduction in abscisic acid and some of the biochemical pathways? I'm not sure, but we are sure that you can reduce defoliation towards the end of the season when you use these strobilurin fungicides. The question is, does that help by foliar feeding or for the factories continue to send sugars to the bowls, or does it hurt because you've got more of a humidity at the end of the season, increased boll rot? When we look at leaf spot severity over several different rating scales, the basic answer is we tend to see a reduction in severity, but it's not statistically significant. And when we look at yield, these are the yields from 5 trials, from 01, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can count them, 04 to 07. This is the yield above the check. And you see, typically we do see an increase in yield when we use fungicides. Not always, but we typically see an increase in yield when we use the fungicides. And this is typically 2 applications. The problem is, this is the amount of lint, this purple line, if you put out a single application at 6 ounces of pyraclostrobin. This is the amount you need, or this is 2 applications of pyraclostrobin. This is 2 applications at the higher rate, or 3 applications of pyraclostrobin. And then when you look at the economics of 50 cents per pound of cotton, then it becomes not only important that you make yield, but you make a certain amount of yield above it to pay for it. And here's what happens when you look at the value of the crop when you sprayed from when you didn't spray. And you see, 10 times out of 20, there's either a slight numeric increase in yield, none of this is significant, or there's a fair amount. 10 times out of 20, you actually lost money by spraying. Okay? So how do we interpret? What do we do with that? Last thing I want to show you is, this is Mitchell County. This year we tried to come up with a better rating system. We used Assess from the APS program. Assess is a computer. We scan these leaves in, and then we use Assess to rate the amount of leaf spot there is, both the percent area and the number of lesion count. And just for anybody, it works very well, but my caution is don't save them as JPEG files. JPEG files tends to overestimate by it calculates areas that aren't on the leaf. If you're going to do this system, make sure you use PNG files when you save them. You can see the difference in disease severity you get by not reading the instructions. It is in the instructions, I found out. Foliar diseases of cotton, this is 2008. Just to go over this, we use the Assess program. This is the percent leaf area affected. Here's our fungicides, here's the untreated, no significant differences. Here is the same situation a month later, and you can see that there's still no significant differences in the amount of disease there was, but we do see an increase in disease. So we're not seeing a significant reduction. Most of this was Cercospora leaf spot. When we look at yields, again, here's the untreated. Here's the problem. This is the amount. The blue line is what you have to make. If you put out one application of headline, two applications in the high rate, you can see that most of the time we either didn't make money or just broke even. Okay, that's the problem we have. Last data I'll show you, another trial in 2008. Here's the untreated. This is using the Assess program the right way. You can see the amount of disease we have, really no reduction, statistical reduction in disease, and no statistical reduction or increase in yield. Okay? So how do we summarize this? The impact of foliar diseases on cotton continues to remain unknown. If you want to use azoxystrobin or pyraclostrobin on peanuts or corn or soybeans, I can tell you exactly how we want to see it used. On cotton, I can tell you we can control disease, but the impact of that disease on the yield is still not completely known. Stemphylium is one we do. Fungicides seem to be able to reduce delay defoliation, but what does that matter in the end? That's still something we're working out. More often than not, fungicide treatments help yield, at least numerically. The question is that numeric yield increase enough for the growers? What's our future work going to be? Timing, especially looking at Stemphylium leaf spot, can an early protective application of a fungicide affect a disease which can cause significant yield loss? And we'll continue trials over the state. So as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, as far as an extension specialist goes, and when I talk to our extension agents in Georgia, is it's an important tool. Fungicides like azoxystrobin, pyraclostrobin, and thiophanate methyl, important tools. They can control disease. What we have to do is use them cautiously and continue to look at them and see what benefit they'll bring to the growers in the end. And with that, I'll conclude. Be happy to answer any questions you have.
Besides yield, did you measure quality, fiber qualities?
We did not. And if in yesterday's more important session, the symposium, they did measure quality, and they found from BASF studies that quality was basically the same whether you used fungicide or didn't. The yield was that they saw a yield bump, but didn't see a difference in fiber quality. Yes, sir.
I think this is a very fair presentation, and I think the last point is the critical point, and the question about this whole thing is when the fungicide basically worked. We're not sure exactly how for each organism, but the effect of the treatment probably depends in large measure on what happens in the week following the application, the week or 2 weeks following the application. So defining criteria for when we might want to put these things on, I think, is critical for the economic response. The second when is defoliation. For example, to prevent defoliation on one August is entirely different from preventing it on 15 August is entirely different.
Absolutely.
I think
the risk we run, Bob, is to discount saying, well, we don't need these fungicides, but I don't think we don't know that. What we know is they're a tool. They do things in the field. Is how do we manage the cost versus manage timing of application? I agree with you. Would you agree with that, Jason? Nod your head, yes.
I would agree with that, Bob.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
On your test, we had one of the talks yesterday. We talked because of the dynasty and tried using it in
oxystrobin's in there, and then you got the quadrus oxystrobin. They're worried about that effect later on. Do you know what the seed treatments were on these? Did they have two shots of oxystrobin by any chance?
It's in Georgia, it would be very possible that they would have azoxystrobin on it, but I'm not really worried. The question is, if you have an azoxystrobin seed treatment, which will be Dynasty CST, and then you have an azoxystrobin foliar application, what about resistance management? I'm not concerned about that aspect because you're treating two different zones, two different pathogen types. I'm more concerned, as Dr. Woodward mentioned, if you've got volunteer peanuts and you've got the strobilurins going on the peanut crop and then going on the volunteer peanut crop the following season.
So we're oxystrobin hitting it pretty hard going through. It's going from peanuts to cotton. Peanuts you sprayed on, then you're going to seed treatment, now you're pulling again.
We like strobilurins, that's correct. Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Bob.